Before we jump into today's case, I need to make a correction to something I said in the previous episode. So in that previous episode, we were talking about all the damages standards. I gave an example of a breach contract where I bought orange juice from you and you never provided the orange juice. So for the expectation damages, I said the amount that would be awarded would be $5,000. Now that number is correct, but the way I explained how I came up with the number was incorrect. I said I would get back the $3,000 I paid you, plus the $2,000 profit I would have made. And that's not quite right. The correct way of coming up with that number is to simply look at where I would have been had you performed your side of the contract. And if you'd provided the OJ, I would have sold that OJ at $5 a gallon for 1,000 gallons, which equals $5,000. And that's it. The fact that I paid you $3,000 doesn't factor into that number. Because if you had provided the OJ, I still would have given you that money. So again, it's just the $5 a gallon times 1,000 gallons, $5,000. So hopefully that makes sense. And if it doesn't, please reach out to me with a quick email or on PodTalk if that correction or the original example still isn't quite clear. Okay, and before we jump into the case, let's do a quick review of the three different standards for calculating damages. So in contract law, if one party does not fulfill their side of the contract, we say that that party has to provide damages to the other party who did keep their side of the bargain. And here are the three different ways we calculate that damage amount. So first, we've got expectation damages. And that puts the injured party back to the position where they would have been had the contract been performed as agreed upon. And this is the most common way that courts will calculate damages. Second, there are reliance damages. This puts the injured party back to where they would have been had the contract never been made. For restitution damages, this is the amount by which the breaching party was unjustly enriched. So whatever amount the breaching party benefited, they have to give that back to the non-breaching party. And just to note, this method is rarely used by the courts. Okay, so with that quick review, let's go ahead and jump into our case today. And that case is Sullivan v. O'Connor. This is also known as the nose job case. You'll find out why in a sec. And it took place in the Supreme Court of Massachusetts in 1973. And the purpose of this case is to see how judges decide whether to award expectation, reliance, or restitution damages. And this case will be a really good example of how all these different standards would apply when there's a breach. So let's jump into the facts. On one side of this dispute, we've got a patient. And then on the other side, we have a doctor. And the doctor agreed to perform a nose job on the patient. And that surgery cost her $622.25. And he promised, he made a guarantee to her, and this is rare, doctors usually don't do this, but he promised that it would enhance her beauty and improve her appearance. And as a quote. And he said it would require two surgeries. But apparently the opposite happened, and instead of making her nose more beautiful, he ended up disfiguring and deforming her nose. And it took him three surgeries to do it instead of just two. Originally the plan was to shorten her nose, make it a little bit less prominent, but he ended up causing her nose to have a dip from the top down to about the middle, and then from the midpoint of her nose, it started to become, as the judge described, bulbous. First time I've heard that word, but it just seems really on point. And viewing from the front, her nose seems like it got a little bit wider and less symmetrical. So her nose got kind of messed up. And the plaintiff wasn't too happy about how all this turned out. And so she sued the doctor saying that he breached their contract by not delivering on his promise of improving the appearance of her nose. So that's a basic setup for the case, at least as far as the facts go. Now, the facts are pretty straightforward, but the legal part gets a little more complicated. So I'm going to try and break it down step by step. But just so you know up front, this is going to be a long one. All right, so the first problem that the judge needs to figure out is whether there's actually a breach of contract. So typically, if a doctor is unsuccessful in performing a surgery, then he could be liable for tort damages if they were negligent. But generally speaking, they won't be liable for a breach of contract. One of the reasons judges give for this is that doctors usually don't make a guarantee when they make a contract with someone, with their patients. They don't make a guarantee that the surgery will be successful. So judges tend to assume that unless like there's super explicit clear proof that the doctor made a very firm guarantee promise that they were going to be successful, judges assume that, that the doctor did not give that promise. Now, again, if, however, the plaintiff can, the patient can prove that the doctor did give that promise or guarantee, then the courts will allow for a breach of contract suit. And there's some good policy reasons for this, and we kind of just covered it, but I'm going to leave it to the side. I'm not going to talk any more about that. So in this case, the plaintiff was able to give clear proof that the doctor gave an explicit clear promise that he was going to give her a beautiful nose. So the judge says, yes, since there's clear proof that the doctor promised this, we're going to allow for a breach of contract. Okay, so that's taken off the table. The next issue is, now that we've established there's a breach, we have to figure out how much this doctor now owes the patient for breach. All right, we've got our three standards. Again, we've got expectation, reliance, and restitution damages. And I'm going to go through each one, one by one, to see how much the damages would be for each standard. And before I jump in, I'm just going to give you another warning that this does get a little complicated, I think, especially in an audio format to keep track of all these details. So what I did is in the show notes, in the episode notes, you can look. There's going to be a little table that lists all these items out for each standard. And so if you lose track of what I'm saying as we go through this, you can just pull up your podcast player and look at those notes. Okay, now to explain these three different standards, I kind of like to talk about it on a spectrum. So on the left side of the spectrum, you've got restitution damages, which is just the amount that the defendant benefited. And in this case, it's kind of the get your money back standard. So the doctor in this case benefited whatever the patient paid him, just that surgery fee. And this is the bare minimum of damages that can be awarded. Then at the right end of the spectrum, you've got expectation damages, which is how much the plaintiff would be benefited if there had been no breach, if the doctor had actually held up his side of the bargain. And that's going to be the maximum that can be awarded. So you've got restitution on the minimum, you got expectation as the maximum on the right end, and then we're going to talk about going into the middle. And in the middle, you've got reliance damages, and this is the amount that the plaintiff was made worse off by the breach. So it's going to be more than restitution because the plaintiff is going to at least get their money back, plus whatever damages they suffered as a result of going through all these surgeries. Okay, so hopefully that spectrum analogy makes it clear where you've got the bare minimum restitution on the left end, the maximum expectation on the right end, and then you've got reliance damages between the two. Okay, so let's start out with restitution damages and calculate that. Okay, let's start off by looking at restitution damages and see how much money the patient is going to get under that standard. And under restitution, she would only get $622. Why that? Because $622 is the amount that the doctor benefited from this contract. So it doesn't matter what she suffered, what she went through. All it is from the defendant's perspective, how much did he benefit from this contract? And all it was is just the money she paid for it. So $622, and that's it. So that's, again, restitution is the bare minimum. All right, we're going to go all the way to expectation damages. And remember, under expectation damages, we've got to put the plaintiff, the patient, in the same spot she would have been as if the contract had actually been performed, as if the doctor had actually given her that beautiful nose that he promised. So let's go through each item. First thing that we have to do is we have to put her back. We have to compensate her for the difference between her messed up nose and her beautiful nose. So whatever value that is, because if the doctor did his job, she would have had a beautiful nose now. Next, we also have to take into account the cost of the third surgery. So if the doctor had done his job, she would not have had to go through that third surgery. So there's a cost with that third surgery, and those costs include the hospital expenses. for nurses or whatever she had to pay while she was in the hospital there. And also this other category, which was pain and suffering. So again, it's up to the jury to figure out what that actual amount will be. But again, that's the cost. She would not have had to go through that pain of suffering for the third surgery had the doctor held up his end of the bargain. Now, the last bit, it goes back to the beautiful nose thing. She would also have to be compensated for the difference in her earnings between her messed up nose and the earnings she would have had with her beautiful nose. So apparently in her she was in the entertainment industry, and apparently with this beautiful nose, she would have made more money in her job. But now that she has a messed up nose, she's making less. So whatever that difference is, the doctor is going to have to compensate her for that. Okay, so that's all expectation damages. And I say that's at the right end of the spectrum because the assumption is that this beautiful nose was really going to make a big difference and was going to be, it would be a lot of money, presumably. Okay, so now we're going to scooch back all the way to the middle and talk about reliance damages. And this one is probably the most complicated, so I'm just going to go through line by line, and hopefully you don't get lost. Again, you can go look at the notes of this episode just to see a summary for each of these standards. Okay, so for reliance damages, remember, we want to put her in the spot where she would have been as if she had never entered into this contract in the first place. Starting off, let's talk about the nose. We need to compensate her for the difference in value between her messed up nose and her pre-surgery nose. So again, it's not the beautiful nose because she would have to go through the contract to get that beautiful nose. We're trying to put her in the spot she was before she ever entered into the contract. So wherever her nose was before, whatever state her nose was in before the doctor operated on her, we've got to compensate her for the difference between where she is now and where she was before. Okay, now let's talk about the surgeries. So the doctor said it was going to take two surgeries. And so under expectation damages, the costs for those two surgeries do not get included. But under reliance, because we're trying to put her in the spot where she would have been as if she never entered into the contract, we will compensate her for all three surgeries. So pain and suffering for all three surgeries and the hospital expenses for all three surgeries. Again, because she would have never gone through those surgeries had it not been for this contract. Also, again, the lost earnings due to her messed up nose. And again, the comparison point is not between the messed up nose and the earnings she would have had she had a beautiful nose. It was just her earnings from where she is now versus where she was before her nose got all messed up. And then lastly, she will get back the $622 she paid for the surgery because, of course, she didn't enter into the contract. She still would have that $622 in her pocket. Okay, so that was a lot. I think it was good to go through all three standards. I think this is a good complicated case to see how each of those play out. And what I would do is, if I'm like preparing for an exam or something like that, I would just go through each one of those items and make sure you understand why that item gets included for that damages standard. I want to give one more footnote about these damages calculations. Things like pain and suffering and the difference in value between her messed up nose and the beautiful nose, I didn't give a dollar amount for that. The dollar amount for each of those items would be determined by the jury. I think I may mention that, but just in case, I want to add to that footnote. The other thing I want to add is about the whole spectrum thing that I talked about earlier, where I said you have restitution as the minimum, expectation as the max, and reliance in the middle. Often that is the case. That's how those values play out. But there are certainly cases where that is not true. For example, like we talked about in a previous episode, expectation damages could be less than reliance damages. Like if the market for something you were going to buy as a wholesaler, if the demand for that plummeted all of a sudden, then you may want reliance damages may be more than expectation. So I just want to make sure you keep that in mind and don't have this like rigid idea in your head that these standards will always be least to greatest in that order. Okay, so if this episode hasn't gone on long enough, I still need to do some more setup before we go into the ruling. It is specifically about the procedural history of this case. So all the stuff that happened up leading up to this court case on the Court of Appeals, just so I can tell you precisely what the judge is having to rule on. So when this case originally went to trial, the judge decided that there was a breach, so the patient won. But when it came to deciding the damages amount, the judge had to give the jury instructions on how to total that up. And here are the items he included in those instructions. He said, first, the $622 for the surgery, which is kind of under the reliance and restitution standard. Second, he said, the hospital expenses for all three surgeries, which is also like under the reliance standard. He said, the pain and suffering only for the third surgery, which is kind of like the expectation standard, and the difference in value between her messed up nose and pre-surgery nose, which again is, that's the reliance standard. So you'll notice that list of items doesn't really exactly map on to one of our three standards. It's sort of a reliance standard, but then there's kind of these expectation damages thrown in there too. So again, the judge didn't go exactly expectation or reliance or restitution. Kind of basically went reliance, but not quite. The doctor, he didn't like this list of instructions that was given to the jury. He thought that the judge included too much stuff. Specifically, he wanted the judge to only allow compensation for the patient's out-of-pocket expenses, which is sort of like more like a restitution standard. And in this situation, he said it should only be the cost of the surgery and the hospital expenses. So just like the hard cash that came out of there. He wanted to exclude all the pain and suffering stuff and like the difference in value between her messed up nose and her pre-surgery nose. And the reason for that is because once you start getting to this kind of mushy-gushy pain and suffering and difference in value between her messed up nose and pre-surgery nose, I mean, what dollar amount can you put on pain and suffering? What dollar amount do you put on the difference in having a more messed up nose? You give that to a jury, who knows what number they're going to come up with. So he was trying to, you know, shut that down and just say, look, just whatever the receipts say, whatever the numerical amount that she paid out, that's the only thing she should get back. So this is what he appealed, and he wants the judge to take out those items in the jury instructions. Now the patient, on her part, she said she would actually be fine if this jury instructions stayed the way they were. She may have said, I want expectation damages. I want the difference between not my pre-surgery nose and messed up nose. I want the expectation. I want the damages for my messed up nose and the beautiful nose that I was promised. Like, I should be getting millions of dollars for this. But she didn't do that. She said, look, if you just give me what I was awarded in the previous trial, then I'll take that. I'll be all right with that. And so that makes the judge's job a little bit easier. He only has to decide whether or not to include the pain and suffering for the third surgery and the difference in value between her messed up nose and her pre-surgery nose. Okay, so finally, almost 20 minutes into this, you're the judge and you have to decide whether or not you're going to include these extra items in the damages for breach of contract here. So again, will you include the pain and suffering and the difference in value between her messed up nose and the way her nose was before? If you're in our Pod Talk group, go ahead and leave your comment and tell me how you're going to rule. Okay, let's talk about how the judge ruled. The judge decided to leave the jury instructions as is. So he ended up keeping the damages for pain and suffering and the difference in value between her messed up nose and the pre-surgery nose. Just kept things as is. All right, so what's his reasoning? It's a little ambiguous and murky, but I will do my best to explain it. First off, the judge could have awarded full-blown expectation damages. But since the patient said she'd be fine if the jury instructions stayed the way they were, he didn't go into that territory. And that's almost always how common law judges will act. Rarely will they venture to answer a judicial question when they don't have to. So perhaps if the patient said she wasn't satisfied with the jury instructions and that she wanted expectation damages instead, then maybe the judge would have given her more. But again, if a judges don't have to answer a question, they won't. Generally speaking. The judge also said he's a bit uncomfortable awarding expectation damages in contracts involving medical procedures. He said if we started awarding expectation damages, then doctors may get a little bit gun shy. They may start practicing what he called defensive medicine, and maybe get more conservative in their practice. And he thought that might be a bad public policy, maybe a bad outcome in terms of public policy. Now, in deciding between restitution and reliance damages, the judge said that the restitution damages in this case, just the out-of-pocket expenses, would be too meager, in his words. There wasn't much more justification to it than that. And if I were to try and read into this a little bit and what the judge really meant by too meager, here's what I would guess. Whenever there's a contract breach, you know, we usually award expectation damages. And since that's already been taken off the table, the patient is already getting less than what she would in a normal breach. And so maybe the judge just feels like it's a little bit unfair if we're already taking off expectation to go all the way down to restitution. And so he kind of just strikes a balance and takes this middle ground of reliance damages. Okay, so that was that. I think that's it. That was a long one. Hopefully by now you're getting a little more comfortable with each of these standards. You're probably getting really tired of hearing the words reliance, restitution, and expectation being said in your head for the past 20 minutes. But hopefully it's like getting grilled in there and it's becoming second nature to you. So if there's anything in this episode that didn't make sense to you or anything that confused you, please reach out to me. Again, you can always email me. If you're on PodTalk, just send me a message on there. Leave a comment in this episode, and I will get back to you. Happy to answer your questions. My wife, she uses that app, and she's nice enough to listen to my these lectures, and she'll always ask me questions about it, and I get back to her, and I enjoy that. I enjoy answering questions. I enjoy hearing from people. So, but yeah, please don't hesitate to reach out, and let me know if there's any other topics with regards to contract remedies, if there's something you want covered. I still plan to do a couple more episodes on this, but yeah, just let me know. So that's all for this episode. I'll talk to you next time.